your hands up, black boy.
I don't wanna hurt nobody. We just came here to party. See a few dames, exchange some names. I'm a top shot, the kid, stay in your lane. The cop shot the kid, same old same. Pour out a little liquor, champagne for pain.
Y'all out there tonight?
Slap boxing in the street. Crack the hydrant in the heat. Cop cars on the creep, doing they roundups. We just watch for the sweet. Yeah, it's hotter than July. It's the summer when niggas die. It's the summer when niggas ride. Together we'll be strong, but forever we divide. So y'all are blowing my high. Type of shit that's killing my vibe. White kids are brought in alive. Black kids get hit with like five. Get scared, you panic, you going down. The disadvantages of the brown. How in the hell the parents gonna bury their own kids, not the other way around?
Let's keep it on the main thing.
Reminds me of Emmett Till.
Hey,
let's remind them why Cap kneels.
With our blood. Because you see, so many of our ancestors was killed because we have never accepted slavery. We had to live on it, but we never wanted it. So we know that this flag is drenched with our blood. So what the young people are saying now, give us a chance to be young men, respected as a man. As we know, this country was built on the black backs of black people across this country. And if we don't have it, you ain't gonna have it either, because we gonna tear it up. That's what they saying. And people ought to understand that. I don't see why they don't understand. They know what they've done to us. All across this country, they know what they've done to us.
From our queen, hey. Fannie Lou Hamer. One of the most powerful women in history. Go research Fannie Lou Hamer. We not letting off the gas. We shutting this whole system down from the inside to the outside. The fight ain't over. The marathon continues. One of the tightest remixes ever. Straight revolution music from here on out. Yes. Yes, we gonna shut this whole thing down. Shut it down. Because love has to win. And with that being said, you know how we started off here. Testing, 1, 4, 3. Testing, 1, 4, 3. Thank you for tuning in to the Ken's Corner Podcast. I am your host, Ken, and I just want to thank you for being here with me today. What a great day to be alive, even though it's a lot going on. We're not going to let that stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. And with that being said, welcome to episode number 62 of the Ken's Corner Podcast. And you could have been doing anything else, but you chose to be here with me today. And for that, I am thoroughly and immensely thankful for that. You can see me. No, not see me, because this is a podcast, not video yet. So you can listen to me on all streaming platforms. You can also find me on all social media places. I cannot talk. Let me slow down. All social media places, which is Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And yeah, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Ken's Corner. And which, when you're listening to this podcast or wherever you're listening to, whatever streaming service you choose to use, please subscribe and hit those notifications so therefore you always know when we post. Then I need you to stream, download, share, retweet, like, and please rate us, because this is only way. I keep saying us, it's just me. Please rate this podcast, because that's the only way I know if I'm delivering quality content to my listeners. So with that being said, let's go ahead. Oh, one last thing. You can also listen and you can also interact with me at my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. So let's see what's going on here in the neighborhood that we can talk about today, because there's a lot going on. So the first thing I would like to say is I'm so thankful that I had an opportunity to be a part of the Suits in Solidarity March by Brother White, a good brother. I don't know him personally, but just the fact that he was able to coordinate a wonderful march on Sunday. I was also, and I didn't ask to be, so this lets you know that my destiny is to be famous. I'm not trying to brag, but it was just humbling. It was just humbling because not one but two news reporters stopped me. So on two different news, so I'm on the local news speaking, but it wasn't about me. It was about the solidarity of all the African American men, or as I like to say, the descendants of Africans who were forced here against their will through chattel slavery to the Americas. I think he wanted 100. I know he got well over more than 100 men out there, all in suits. There were singing, dancing, poetry, and just a good time. So thank you, Brother White, for organizing that. Shout out to the city of Dayton who pulled it off. Shout out to the Dayton Police Department who escorted us through and made sure all the traffic and stuff was stopped. And last but certainly not least, because it's, I want to say, it was not missed that the women came out in support. It was just good as we were walking, just affirming us. We love you. We see you. We're here for you. We support you. They were handing out water. They walked right alongside with us, and it was just a great sight. So whenever the women get theirs together and their march, men, we need to make sure that we're lined up just ready to protect our women and just be there and support our women, because it was, again, it was a very good event. So just so thankful to be part of that. It's a lot going on. It's a time that we're living in that is a very pivotal point in history. We are living literally in a, you know, people are scribing this right now in history. You know, every day is a history day, but however, this time that we're living in now is really being scribed and analyzed in the annals of history. So I recommend that you do what you need to do to be on the right side of history. People are being held accountable for what they say and what they stand for. You know, NASCAR, this was real big. And I want to make sure that I approach this with caution. However, I am happy to see some changes coming. Never was a big NASCAR fan. However, NASCAR totally banned the flying of the Confederate flag, and that drew an ire of several drivers, and most importantly the fans, because they want to say that's a part of our history. That's a part of our history. And I'm going to get a little bit into that later as far as my introduction to history. But then it was just great to see Bubba Wallace in the Black Lives Matter car. I mean, that's big. That is big. And so shout out to NASCAR. I'm going to give credit where credit is due for getting rid of the Confederate flag and making, at least for right now, the sport to be more inclusive to those people or minorities who want to, let me stop saying minorities. Those people of different ethnic backgrounds, make them want to help, you know, be a part of your sport and your industry. And they probably did it because it's a great, good business move, to be honest with you. Because if you change and you now you have more eyes on your sport, you never know who you're going to inspire. The NBA, I want to spend a little time on this because the NBA is slated to open up, I think, at the end of July. And LeBron James and several other high-profile athletes are in support of this. However, there's another, there's a few, but the one most notably is Kyrie Irving, who's against it. And I'm paraphrasing his statement. It's basically what he's saying is, okay, the NBA is coming back. Could this be a distraction from what's really going on? Will people will stop losing focus on the fights for injustice so that they can concentrate on sports? And so that's a very good question that needs to be posed. You know, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about the return of the NBA or the possibility of, as the sports start to come back around, that these events will take over and not what we are fighting for after the execution of Brother Floyd? So we want to make sure, and I appreciate Kyrie for speaking up, we want to make sure that we keep our foot on the pedal and that we don't let up. Now, if during these games that these athletes, if it does come back, making sure that these athletes, and which many of them have, LeBron James has been very vocal. There's other athletes that's probably doing some things behind the scene. But make sure that we don't lose sight of what is most important. We have to continue to fight this fight. It's so many fronts that we can fight on. And so we have to make sure. But I do appreciate and really highly respect, always respect to Kyrie Irving. Disrespect, you know, when you find out other little things, it just helps you to respect them more. So shout out to Kyrie Irving. Shout out to everybody involved. Let's make sure we keep the main thing, and keep moving forward. What else is going on here in the world? Now, another thing that you know, going back to my statement as far as people being held responsible for what they say, I'm really proud of this new wave of college athlete. For so long, this generation has been getting kicked around and, you know, saying that this generation is soft and they're not aware. I think, in my personal observation, I think this is one of the most aware generations because they had to deal with the inundation of being inundated, excuse me, with so much information. And we're starting to see some of the cream rise to the top. And so I want to shout out, I believe his name is Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. And he said, you know, Mike Grundy, the head coach, had on an OAN t-shirt. And the OAN is a far rightist extremist news outlet. And they are some of the, you know, bringing out some of the conspiracies and just also just, you know, they don't speak favorably for our people of color. And they have real rightist views that's supported by the person who occupies the White House. And so that's this football star, a brother, saw this. And it's like, nah, man, we not doing nothing until we get this right. We not doing nothing. I don't care about this Heisman. I'm not doing anything. So once the money is starting to get affected, people start to fall in line. So supposedly, and I didn't see it yet, so I don't know if it has happened yet, but I did read a little excerpt that Hubbard and Grundy are supposed to be coming together with some type of joint statement. So, you know, they're going to try to smooth things out to, you know, make sure that they keep them boosters happy and keep that money coming in. And so let's make sure we keep a close eye on that and other situation that's going on. Because another situation that I'm very concerned about when it comes to these college athletes is now this, with everything that's going on, COVID-19 is still there. So let's not let us lose sight that this particular virus is still out there. As the nation opens back up and people are going back to what some semblance of a new normal, we're interacting more, more people are out and about, and more people are in close proximity to each other. One of those things is college sports. And these young men and women, they've trained, they've done a lot, and this is their livelihood, and they want to make sure that they are being prepared to go into the profession that they want to go into, which is sports entertainment. Now, the thing that I don't like is that I'm learning and I've researched and seen that a lot of these high-profile schools, such as Ohio State, is making their players sign COVID waivers for voluntary, I'm doing air quotes, voluntary workouts. Now, this right here is raising a red flag to me, because if it's voluntary and if I choose not to show up because I am hesitant or afraid or concerned about getting COVID, will this affect my scholarship? Will this affect my playing time? Because if you're living under a rock and you don't know, the business of college athletics is very competitive. And as a former coach myself, I've coached every level from Pee Wee to Division II football. And the one thing I know about the recruiting process is that when they recruit you, they recruit four or five of you. So no matter what position you are, there are two to three other people who they recruited at that exact same position. Because if something happens to you, it's the next man up mentality. Now, if you are an athlete and you decide that you don't want to risk getting COVID, and the player up under you or, you know, in the same recruiting class as you decided that he or she wants to do it, then that could occupy or, you know, you lose your spot. So now what position are these players being put in? And again, none of these players are getting compensation. I know it's been a big thing in California about being able to make money off your likeness. I believe Florida has passed something similar. But the bill, in looking at it, and I've looked at the one in California, it's still watered down to where the players really are not making that much money. So I will encourage each person to look at that for themselves, and you make a judgment call for yourself. This is just my opinion and observation based upon the information that I've read. But at the end of the day, this thing about COVID and quote-unquote signing these waivers for these quote-unquote voluntary workouts, man, this is really concerning to me, because I don't want, these student athletes, and I have air quotes with that, be threatened with lifelong situations because they want to play the sport. So I'm going to keep a close eye on that. I suggest everyone does too. In the entertainment, Dave Chappelle on Thursday dropped a I saw it on YouTube, 8:46, powerful, powerful, powerful piece of, I don't even know what to call it, because it wasn't a comedy. It was just a powerful monologue, an observation about what's going on from his perspective. It's really hard. I don't want to say it's good or bad. It just was powerful. And so I recommend each person look up 8:46 Dave Chappelle special, either on Netflix or on YouTube. And he just, he talked about what's going on in this world and how it affected him. And one of the main quotes I like the fact that he encouraged and was supportive of the young people who are leading this movement. And the one thing he said is that the streets will speak for themselves. Like, he didn't need to talk. The streets will speak for themselves. And I felt that was very powerful and very humbling, and just being able to understand your place in history, knowing that he's important, knowing that people want to hear him. But like he said, man, at this time, didn't nobody want to hear from those celebrities? Man, people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. So shout out to David Chappelle for that special, very powerful. suggest you look at it. Another powerful thing, and shout out to Netflix for the whole, I think I said it in the last podcast, if I didn't, I truly apologize, is that Netflix has a whole Black Lives Matter section. And this is the thing that I'm very excited in a good way about these situations. Because again, let's just say they're all doing it for money situation. But you're curating very good material information that's going to spark somebody to go out and do their own research. So you may have wanted to do it for money. And again, I don't know the hearts of Netflix, but usually big corporations don't do anything out of the kindness of their heart. Usually 70%, if not 80% of the time, there's a dollar amount attached to the goodness of a company. But they have some very powerful films on there and documentaries, and you have the opportunity to look at that, and then you can go out and do research for yourself. On that note, The Five Bloods, a Spike Lee joint on Netflix, was excellent. A great piece on the Vietnam War. There were some historical things. Of course, Spike Lee was educating as he was entertaining. And it was just a really good movie, a very good movie. A lot of symbolism in there. And it was just good to see, you know, one of the things that was talked about, and this was an actual thing that the Viet Cong would do, is that they would go over the radio and they would, now America would call it propaganda, but America sent us over there on propaganda, and that's a whole nother history lesson. But with that being said, they would, you know, talk to him and say, you know, as far as, you know, why are you fighting this war and things of that nature. But one of the things that was so powerful when they talked about at that time, the percentage of African Americans in the United States was like 11-12%. Yet there were, you know, close to 30 and 35% of the people fighting in Vietnam were of African Americans. And that was disproportionate. And they were put on the front line and, you know, were just basically being slaughtered, only to fight for a country that when you came back, that didn't respect you, that didn't give you the hero's welcome that everybody else got. So not only did they lose the war, but then they came back and were still second and third class citizens in the country that they fought for. You know, everything from PTSD to Agent Orange to, you know, just a whole bunch of litany of diseases and mental illness came out of that Vietnam War. And so it was very powerful when Brother Spike Lee put that in there. Again, these things are just educating while entertaining. But overall, great movie, great storyline, great acting. So I recommend Netflix, The Five Bloods. Happy birthday to O'Shea Jackson, a.k.a. Ice Cube. Man, Cube has really been active also on social media. I really suggest and strongly suggest you go follow him on Twitter. He is dropping jewels literally like almost every day. And I like the fact when he said, I haven't been hacked. Now, he wasn't going out like that. And so Ice Cube is a mogul. I don't think that he gets the total. I understand everybody's in love with Jay-Z. And then that's another thing. It's enough room for everybody to eat. So from Jay-Z to Master P to Diddy to Ice Cube, I mean, these are moguls out here doing big things. And for those who grew up on his music like I did, man, Ice Cube was just a revolutionary, just one of the, if not the, in my personal opinion, the greatest storyteller of all time in hip-hop. And he reinvented himself just being him. You know, my sons didn't know that Ice Cube was a rapper. They only knew him as an actor. They only knew him as a business owner. So for him to be able to do that for the culture, just happy. But happy birthday, Ice Cube. I'm happy for you, man. I know you don't know me from a can of paint, but I'm a big fan of yours. I support you. I support the Big Three, all your work. So just shout out to you and keep dropping those jewels and keep putting the pressure on. I know you're making moves where you're at to make sure that we get opportunity in those industries. One of the things that I want us to be very concerned about, and it was really the one that stood out, but there has in the past week and a half, 2 weeks, there have been eight lynchings, eight lynchings. We're talking about actual hangings and deaths. And it was a Florida woman. I can't pronounce her first name, so please forgive me, but her last name is Salam. Please be careful, because cowards do anything they can to try to silence the movement. I need everyone who's listening to this to be careful, because this movement is worldwide. Shout out to Germany who's joining me. Shout out to Germany. It's just a great thing to see people worldwide in this movement. And so in doing that, there's always going to be people out to stop the movement. And those people are literally killing us. So we have to make sure that we're protected. We have to make sure that we're armed with knowledge, physically, spiritually. I mean, we just have to be careful. It is what it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We have to be careful. We have to be prepared. We have to be armed. So my condolences go out to her and her family, and my condolences go out to all of those men and women who are literally being lynched. This is 2020, and people are still being lynched. Let that sink in. We're not even talking about police. We talk about people being lynched. So let's make sure we love each other, we protect each other, because it's bad out here. Not wanting to scare anybody, but it's bad out here. Situation that's going on in Atlanta right now. And I'm going to go ahead and speak on it. Again, one of my friends, good friends, is a cop, and we had a discussion on it. And then there's different points of view on this. And in this particular situation, and that's the thing about interaction and the fear and, you know, just everything. This, you know, the guy was drunk. He was at Wendy's. Someone called the police on Wendy's, from Wendy's, called the police. Police showed up. And, you know, my friend told me he watched the whole video. And I watched the whole video. I watched it before, you know, prior to him saying it. And things were calm. And until he went to get arrested. And then that's the point that becomes tricky, because why did he struggle? Did he struggle because he was a criminal and he didn't want to get locked up? Did he struggle because he feared for his life because of the climate that's going on? This man had just talked about going to see his daughter. Did he not want to get, I was listening to the mayor of Atlanta and how some people don't want to be locked up over the weekend. He wanted to go see his daughter's birthday. So now this little girl doesn't have her father anymore. Nobody knows why he grabbed that taser. Nobody knows why he resisted arrest. Was it because he was someone who was just opposed to law, or did he fear for his life because of the climate that we're in? But at the end of the day, this brother's gone. And he pointed a taser. I learned that a taser is a medium level threat, but it is considered a deadly weapon, because if you get tased, you can die. And so they shot. The thing that's so infuriating is that even though we have seen other situations, and this is where it gets kind of tricky with the perception of police, because there were at least three videos floating out there that show white people with tasers that they took from the police, and the policemen were able to apprehend this person and bring him into custody. But for whatever reason, it just seems that the trigger is a lot easier to pull on us. And so I don't want to pass judgment on anyone. It's just that we just have to be aware. We don't know. We don't know, again, what that man was thinking. So, and this was a very debatable case. But what I don't want to happen is that a certain group of people take this one instance and then try to discredit everything. Because for that one instance, I got 15 to 20 I can show you where the people were in the right. And they ended up dead. So it's just, we need love. We need love. We need love. So my last point is my introduction of history. And it started, I'm going back to the NASCAR thing and this Confederate flag situation. And I remember being a young man, a little boy, no more, probably between 10 and 12 years old. And I, as a young kid, I watched the Dukes of Hazzard. And everybody remembered the song, "Just the Good Old Boys, Never Meaning No Harm." And the whole little song. And the car was named General Lee. And so, very long story made very short. My uncle was over there, and he saw me playing with the car, and he just sat and looked at me. And I think I've told this story before, but this may be your first time hearing it, so I'm just going to tell it like it's my first time hearing it. And he looked at it. He said, "Let me see that car." He looked at it, and he started peeling off the Confederate flag. And I'm crying. I'm like, "What are you doing? You're destroying my car." And he just peeled it off. He said, "Do you even know what this means?" And I'm like, "It's just a General Lee." He said, "Do you know who General Lee is?" And that was my introduction to history. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the people that fought for the Confederate were traitors. They were traitors by the very definition of treason. That flag represents hate. That flag represents the good old boys wanting to keep the slavery institution alive. And so we, as the descendants of those slaves, we don't see that imagery in the same way as you do. We were being brainwashed as kids that that was okay. What nation do you know of that keeps the statues and names and celebrate the treasonous people of that country? What country do you know? Because other countries have fought civil wars. So what country, and if you won, why do you keep the losers up and celebrate them? Name schools after them. Put slave masters on our currency. There's a reason for that. And it all is entangled in the systematic racism and white supremacy of this nation. And there's no way around it. It's in our education system, because I, now as I got older, and because that was my introduction into history, man, the Civil War is taught in American schools as if both sides were right. Like, it's really, depending on your history teacher, it's really presented in that way. Robert E. Lee is just, for his military genius and the Confederates, the gray coats and the blue coats, as if they were one. But no, man, these the people of the gray fought for trying to keep my descendants down. And so when I see people on my timeline, or I see people that's out defending this, it really lets you know where they stand. Now, a lot of it is ignorance, and they just don't, and they don't know. But then there's the good majority that is willful ignorance, because you have intellectual descendants of Africans telling you, showing you, and then you see it yourself, and other historians of other nationalities saying, "Hey, no, this was wrong." And you still want to embrace that. Why? Shout out to Germany. Shout out to Germany that's listening. And in no way, shape, or form am I saying this to put you down. But do you have statues of Hitler on your streets? Are there any streets in Germany, named after anybody from the Holocaust. It was an atrocity. It was something that happened, but it's not something that you celebrate and embrace. So America, why are you celebrating and embracing it? It's not right. It's not good. And we just need to stop, and we need to become more educated, because I was always taught, once you know better, you do better. So America, it's time for you to know better. But more importantly, it's time for you to do better. So with that being said, I want to thank you so much for listening. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always a pleasure to be able just to give you some insight. Please look at the things that I've mentioned and go out and do your own research, because it's one thing I forget what proverb it is, but if I tell you, you might forget. If I show you, you might remember. But if we do it together, then you'll remember. So we're going on this journey together. I want to make sure that I build a trust with you, because I really do appreciate you as fans. So as always, you can interact with me and find me on all my social media, which is Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I am streaming on all DSPs, all streaming services. Please make sure you subscribe, get the notifications, download, stream, share, like, retweet, and rate us. And last but not least, you can also find me on my website, which is www.kenscorner.com. That is, www.kenscorner.co. www.kenscorner.co. And so with that being said, please make sure you stay safe. That's everybody of all colors and all nationalities. Whatever your profession is, please stay safe. It's hard out there for all of us. So please stay safe. Love one another. So, as always, I love, I trust, and I respect you. This is Ken, Ken's Corner Podcast. Peace.